far, we got 79% of banks in Japan getting ready to jump on board with HBAR. We got big Algorand news as well, some steep dives into the quantum area, and we say this as crypto is absolutely ripping. We're going to dive into all that on today's Frugal BC. I hope everyone is doing well out there. We got Everyday Algonaut in the chat already saying GM, and GM to you too, sir. Lots of stuff to talk about today. And, you know, it's just nice to see crypto going in the right direction, using a little bit of a wider angle today. So we probably could go down a little bit too, but yeah, we'll adjust that next time. Well, yeah, we'll fix that next time. I hope everyone's doing well. You know what? I'm going to do that right now. That's going to drive me nuts. Sorry. Let's see, go down just a little bit. Is that too low? Yep, that's too low. Sorry about that. You know, I was called the least professional podcast in the world. Yeah, we're going to do that. This is going to be in the screen a little bit, but lots to talk about today. And main thing is getting that, seeing Bitcoin at ripping almost 77 and a half. It's been 77 something 600 for the longest time. Today it's 77, actually going up 77 700. Ethereum almost 2500. Yeah, it's a good day for crypto to just take off, which is nice. It's nice to see that, right? It's nice to see that. Yeah, so if you're new here, please hit the like button. Get that like button up. That helps, especially early on, that helps the stream get to more people. And you know what? You can hit it even if you're watching on replay. We appreciate that. Just to remind you, we also have a podcast. You can check that out at any podcast platform that you happen to like. That's still, you know what? That's, well, I'm debating if that's, maybe I'll go up just a touch. Hold on. I know I'm being a weirdo today. How's that? Yeah, there we go. I like that. That's perfect. That's just right. So, okay. Sorry, guys. Sorry for the adjustments. Yeah. So anywhere you get your podcast apps, you can get the Frugal BC podcast, and we try to publish them hopefully the next day. Sometimes I get the Tuesday one out on Thursday, but we're live Tuesdays and Fridays at 11 a.m. And that gives me some time to get some work done in other arenas. And as well as I actually get to play pickleball for the first time this season. It's finally warm enough where I am, and actually it's been warm enough for a little while. I think they've probably been out there a while. Local club does a really bad job of actually showing when it's starting, so I wish they did a little better job of that. But hey, we're also live, by the way, on YouTube, both vertical and horizontal. You know how we do it here, as well as Kick and X, so whatever platform you're on, you know, engage, give us the likes, give us the thumbs up, give us the, you know, retweet if you're on X, give us a retweet. That's always fun. All those things. So appreciate that and appreciate everyone being here. You know what? Enough of my jibber jabber. I think we're going to get right to the markets because they're looking pretty good. Overall market cap is 2.62 and the coin market cap at 160. We're talking 4.2% up for the coin market cap 20 and 3.4% up on the overall crypto market cap. Fear and greed index going into greed. We are in greed territory. We have not been. I can't. God, when was the last time we saw greed? It's been a long time, very long time. Altcoin season is weighted toward Bitcoin, and that makes sense because look at what Bitcoin is doing. Almost, it's getting close to 78. It was 77.6 when I started the stream, now up to 77.8, looking like it really wants to hit that $78,000 level. You know, it's funny, someone asked me, I was at a business event yesterday, and someone asked me what I thought Bitcoin was going to turn around, and I kind of thought, you aren't watching it. It's already been, I mean, we're 10,000 up from, more than 10,000 up from some of the lows. I think we were in the low 60s at one point, right, on this cycle. I saw a funny meme that said, I think I shared it on here before, but it was like Bitcoin 2021, Bitcoin 76, 67,000 or 69,000, I think. And then it was like 2026 Bitcoin 69,000. And like, yeah, that's great. But you know what the difference is? And it was probably designed for engagement, because half of X is like saying something stupid, hoping people will yell at you, because that gives engagement and gets you more views. I really wish they'd fix that system, by the way, but never mind that. The difference is that 69 at that time was like, oh my God, I can't believe it's at 69. And now it's like, wow, I can't believe it's down as low as 69. That's a difference. That's an important difference, a very important distinction to make. But anyway, as Bitcoin nears 78,000, just wants to get closer and closer, it is ripping. Ethereum at 2,400 and climbing. XRP at almost $1.50, almost back to that 3x level for me. BNB at 643. Solana just over 90 now. Just hit that while we were on stream. Pretty cool. Hyperliquid at 45. Dogecoin at 10 cents. Tron at 32 cents. And it's kind of this is kind of beta with what the stock market has been doing. You know, NASDAQ is actually at all-time highs. I believe the S&P is pretty close, if not also at all-time highs. I think the S&P algo at UNCH. UNCH, I don't know what UNCH means, but we'll be getting down there. GM, Green Blue, thanks for being in the chat, brother. My good friends are here. And, you know, if you want to hit that like button, we appreciate that. Remember, you don't have to smash it, by the way. You can just press it gently. I'm going to say that a lot. And I'm going to say that a lot because it's important to grow the channel and to get it out there to more people. We want as many people in here talking about Algorand, HBAR. We're going to get some Cardano, Chainlink, all this good stuff. Speaking of, I'm just kind of going down the list today. It's pretty interesting. Even Chainlink getting in on the action, Monero. Well, why don't we go back to our top gainers and losers for the 24-hour. It is Aerodrome Finance, followed by something in Chinese. I cannot read that. I know this is person. Is it like safety, I think? This would be rain if it had the little dots in it. This is year, I think? No, this is like people. Okay, this is like people. It would be Ningen in Japanese. I don't know what it is in Chinese. I actually spent some time reading Japanese, learning Japanese about 8 years, actually. Been there several times. Chinese, though, it's like I might recognize some of the characters, but that was the hardest part, is like learning all the characters. Japanese is nice because like you can read comics that have the little furigana, they call it, above it, so you can pronounce it. It's kind of crazy if you do that for a long time, all of a sudden you start recognizing the characters, even if you didn't learn them per se. It's kind of interesting. But anyway, that's kind of a tangent. Morpho up 11%, just at 11%. RaveDAO at 10%. Look at that weekly candle. We'll be getting into that. EdgeX up 9%. Virtuals Protocol 8. BitTensor 8% up. And Caspa 8.5% thereabouts. Athena 8.36% up. None of my coins, which is a little bit frustrating. Like I said, RaveDAO at 1,168% up on the week. That's insane. And whatever happened there, you most likely missed it. Then again, you never know, right? That Chinese coin is 346. You know, it actually could be Japanese too. I just don't see. I think it's probably Chinese, but MemeCore at 44%, EdgeX at 32.5%, Aave 27% up on the week, DEX with an E at 22.5%, Athena 21.5%, Aerodrome Finance 20%, Arbitrum 19%, and Pudgy Penguins just about 19%. Gotta love those Pudgy Penguins. I actually think it's a pretty cool project. My girlfriend actually sent me a Pudgy Penguins meme, which surprised the heck out of me because she's, you know, her only interest in crypto is basically through me. So it was kind of funny too. And I think she was aware of it too, but it was pretty cool to see. I think it's a cool project. They're kind of focusing on the actual product first, which I think is kind of cool. I like that the crypto is kind of like you can get into it if you want to. I think that's probably the best bet for most of this stuff. Is, you know, design a cool product, and then the crypto stuff is like, if you want to do that, cool. If you don't, and don't. All right. Anyone losing on the week or on the day? Oh yeah, that siren one. This was one. This is why I tell you be really careful about aping in, guys. This one was blowing up, and now it is just crashing. Look at that. Like, look at that chart. You know, shot straight up and then almost straight back down. WorldCoin down 6.5, and that is not a surprise. We covered WorldCoin. I didn't share a video from it yet. I will soon, I think. Not good. Not good at all. Chili's down 4%. Filecoin 1.5. Toncoin down 1%. Even Near down just a teeny, teeny, tiny bit. Just a bit outside. I miss Euchre. I really do. Tron down an itty bitty bit. Unisat Leo kind of holding steady thereabouts. And then we got the dollar coins. So that's kind of the end of that. How about the week? Down on the week is Dash 16.5. Midnight down 10%. Wow, so Midnight not holding up so good. Zcash down 8%. That's a surprise. Decred down 7. Render down 4.7, almost 5%. Just down 3%. That was in our top 10 for daily gainers. Also, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, there's Siren again. Not nearly down as much as it is on the day. And Stable down 2.5. BitTensor down 2.3. And again, that one is another one that is down on the week, but up on the day. BitGet down a little bit. And even Cosmos, man. Cosmos at $1.82. The last bull cycle, the last real bull cycle we had, my Cosmos was at like, what did it get? It got into the 40s, and it was like 40-something dollars. And I did not take profit. Remember, guys, take profit. If it's a L1, if it's not Bitcoin or Ethereum, take profit. You can do that with Bitcoin and Ethereum too, but Bitcoin, my play is just buy. And then right now, don't buy because it's on a tear, you know, wait for a pullback, right? No commentary, but you guys are really quiet today. Let's head over to, you know, we didn't look at Algorand, but we will. So let's look at Algorand. We'll use Haystack. Yeah, Algorand at about 11.4, and it's that's 1 hour. Yeah, weekly, it is 2.84% up and only 1.8% on the week, but 27% up on the 30 days. And we all know what happened there. We all know what happened. We were down to like 8 cents, so being at 11.5 is pretty good overall. I mean, it would be nice to see it performing in a more beta fashion with the rest of the market. But like I said, Algorand, Hedera, rarely in the top 10 for gainers or losers. It's always kind of in the middle ground. And, you know, we'd like it in the gainers column a little more, frankly. But GoBTC up a little bit, obviously following Bitcoin. But interesting about BTC, we've got some news around wrapped assets coming to, more wrapped assets, I should say, wrapped Bitcoin and wrapped ETH coming to Algorand. We'll get into that news. Oh, look at Tiny. Now, Tiny is actually above 0.3%. I always got to put it into perspective that this was trading at 2.5 to 5 cents about a year ago. And it just has not been able to hold, which is really disappointing. Alpha Arcade has continued to slide. Meanwhile, Folks Finance has been on the rise. Which may be cold comfort for change. This thing was at like 20, well, it was like $40, $50 or something at one point. It was crazy. Haystack up a little today, not so great on the weekday. Polkagold, kind of middling. We'll just look for some outliers. DonkeyDAO up 16% on the week, doing okay on the day as well. There's Vogecoin, about 3% on the day. And a little above 2% on the week. Nice 30-day candle at 25%. A lot of coins got a bump from Algorand doing well. Pheasant Pluckers, not so good on the hour, but pretty good on the day. Almost 4%, over 10.5 on the week. Not too bad. They've got 5-minute candles now. I don't need the... Honestly, I want 24-hour and 7-day. That's the most important thing. The rest is kind of noise, to be honest. Let's see. Anything super standing out? In Munko, 10.6% on the day. That's not too bad. Not too bad at all. It's actually on the top here, as is Akito at 12%, Gunna at 14%. Jaws making a comeback, and I think there's a reason why Jaws is coming back. There's some rumors going around. Well, yeah, we can spill the beans a little bit. There's some rumors of Jaws coming back as CEO. And since we're live, I didn't want to put it in print, but I will say, I'll just say I have a very good reason to believe John would come back as CEO if that was an option. And we'll just leave it at that. Munko, 10.3% up on the 24 hour, which I kind of mentioned already, I guess. Even Nico up 8%. That's nice to see. I've got a lot of Nico that I was given. Anyway, we are doing this on Haystack. Haystack is a sponsor of the proud sponsor of the Frugal BC channel, in fact. We love having them on board. One of the most efficient ways to trade on Algorand. And they have a number of features. And the newest one is this PVP server where you can make bets on the price of different cryptos. Right now, it's Ethereum and Bitcoin. They don't have Algorand on there. Do they call it commodity now? No, they don't. Yeah, it looks like cryptos are the only ones on there. But you can bet basically up or down. And, you know, if it goes up at the end of the period, you win. If it goes down, not so much. They also have, if you trade on here and you have assets that are sitting idle, there's a switch you can turn on, but it'll auto yield and find yield for your tokens, which is really cool. So just want to give a quick shout out to Haystack on that because I think that's really neat. Let's get over to Sauce. SaucerSwap is not a sponsor of the channel. I really think they ought to become one because I'm HBAR sitting at over 9 cents now, up 4% on the 24 hour. That's pretty good. Doing better than Algorand right now, although Algorand's still higher in price. Now, HBAR had taken over Algorand in price for a little while. So far, that's back to not so much. Algorand's had a nice pump as of lately where HBAR was kind of going down. I was generally up 2x when it was around 10, 11 cents, and now I'm down again. Everyday Algonaut says vote. He's talking about Votecoin. Copies the Algo price because the AMM liquidity is currently tied to Algo mostly. Interesting. Sauce, 3.36% up. HBARX at 4% up. We're skipping the wrapped assets and derivatives. Bonzo, 3.6. Exos, 3.4. BSL, 2.2. PAC at 4.4. 3.5 for Dovu, almost 4% for Guelph. I do wish they had the 7-day. Like I said, I want 24-hour and 7-day. The rest to me is kind of noise. 30-day is not too bad. Everyday says vote gives up to 50% of staking rewards in person just to hold the AMM LP token. There you go. DaVinci, 4%. Karate, 4%. Skipping some of these Hedera token service coins. Steam 5.27%. That's really good. KBL 3.2. Mouth at 4%. We had a lot of drops before, so it's kind of nice to see. Xbonzo at 3.6. Look at H Suite at 6.6%. That's a nice gain. But Dosa falling 12%. I wonder if that's one of the counter movers, because wasn't that one kind of going up when the others were going down? We'll have to keep an eye on that one. Hashtree, 4%. Jeet, 4%. GC at 3.7. Lehman, 2.7. Every time I come across that one, it cracks me up. It's got that little, because that so looks like Lehman Baird, but they made him like a lemon. Get it, Lehman Lemon? Did such a good job on that, because that so looks like him. Suit at 3.5%. Lehman, of course, being the one of the founders of Hedera. Super smart guy. Smack M, I've been calling this Smack FM, which I think sounds cooler, but Smack M, 5% up. Not bad. Jackson Crawford in the chat saying, go Algo. What is up? Go Algo indeed. Galaxy at 3.7. Ooh, look at Dino or Dino. One of the two. I'm going to say Dino. 11.5% up for Dino. That's nice. Assets on Hedera having a really good day. and 4.5% for XPAC, 3.5% per StickBug. Link went up 3.7%. It is not zero anymore. Liquidity, $1.70. And apparently there's an iota on there too at 11 cents. But our good friend StickBug with $600 of liquidity, it means you can move the market a lot is what that means. All right. Actually, you know, I just noticed too, our stream is very solid compared to the last time we streamed. So that's good because we had some problems with that. That was not good. Had some major problems with the stream last time and no idea why. Working perfectly fine. It must have been an internet issue is the best I can guess. So, yeah. All right. We got a few more people joining. So if you have not hit the like button, I know I'm sounding like a broken record and I have to do it, guys. I just have to do it because we got to get it helps get the numbers up. You know, I just got to do it. Ooh, my X streams are even lower, 5% only. Juvra Patel says, hello, welcome. Thanks for being here. And if you haven't hit the like button already, remember, you don't have to smash it. You can actually just press it ever so gently, and it works just fine that way too. And we appreciate it and appreciate everyone who has already hit the like button. You can subscribe as well if you want to see all our videos. We got lots going on. Juvra says, a long time. How have you been? Well, I've been good. I've been very good. And we're about to get into some crypto news segments. So buckle up for that. Yeah, good to have you back. I appreciate it. Every day says, I did hit the like button. Everybody support Frugal, please. Hey, yeah, appreciate that every day. And you can press it just as lightly as you want, I always say. Instead of the whole smash, if you want to smash it, I mean, you can smash it. That's fine. I'm not about telling you what to do as long as you hit it. Okay. Excuse me. Bitcoin and Ethereum have already been on Algorand for a while, but there's a new version of wrapped assets coming to Algorand via the Wormhole NTT. What does this mean? We're going to look at that today on today's FrugalBC Algorand segment. So let's dive in. All right. Yeah, this is right from the Algorand Foundation. Wrapped BTC and wrapped ETH are now usable on Algorand. Folks Finance has launched cross-chain WBTC and WETH on Algorand via Wormhole NTT. Transfer from EVM, then lend and borrow these assets directly on Algorand. And I got another segment on this too. So this is something Algo Scott talked about. And this is about the USDC bridge. So actually, no, we're not going to talk about that. Let me go back here then. So I thought this was interesting because I want to see what people have to say. Folks here getting in on the action, Bitcoin and Ethereum now usable on Algorand without friction. Now, M. Adam has a little problem with that. It says, we're going to pretend it hasn't been possible to have wrapped Bitcoin and wrapped ETH on Algorand for 3 years now. This doesn't remove friction or make it any easier than the Portal Bridge. So already on there. By the way, you can always already get GoETH and GoBTC. I've actually had my Ethereum in GoETH for a while now. Horror on Repeat says, yet the price is red again. Now, I don't know if you're talking about Algorand or if you're talking about Hedera, but everything is kind of up a little bit today, so I'm not sure what that means. It depends what you mean. If you mean in the last hour, well, okay, but whatever. But people generally pretty happy about this. I kind of thought the same thing. I kind of thought, well, we already have versions of Go, you know, of it. I know this allows like bridging back and forth, but I just don't have a lot of interest in doing that, to be honest. I get, you know, I guess I get the point, but. Oh, and it did that again, didn't it? Hold on, let me. All right, speaking of, USDC says introducing the USDC bridge, a direct way to move USD cross-chain. USDC cross-chain, I can talk today. Built and operated by Circle, USDC bridge gives you a predictable transparent way to move USDC between chains, native burn and mint transfers, clear upfront and with live status and progress, no route selection, no bridge complexity, destination gas handled automatically, move USDC, that's it. Now, our good friend Algo Scott has some criticisms of this, and Algorand is not there. We have one major stablecoin and we can't even seamlessly move it to from other chains. Algo Foundation, why not reach out to Paulino, Paolo Durino, I can't even see what that says, and Ether, Tether, to see if they're willing to work with us. It's clear Circle doesn't care. Everyday Algonaut weighing in says, I hope it is the same wrapped Bitcoin ASA ideas as it was incentivized to hold during the DeFi rewards a few years back. Yeah, good question. One thing I really hate, by the way, about X's bookmarks is if you click on something, you come back and it just jumbles up your order, which really ticks me off. But I thought this was interesting. Today is World Quantum Day. This was actually on the 14th. Make sure that's not playing. Great reminder that quantum's impact on cryptography isn't theoretical. It's only a matter of time. To mark the occasion, CEO Stacey Warden sat down with world-renowned post-quantum cryptographer and Algorand CSO. I believe that's Chief Science Officer, if I recall right. Chris Peekert, he might say in here, actually. We can get that right. Scientific Officer. Okay. That was pretty close. To discuss the quantum threat to blockchains. Since 2022, Algorand has been leading in blockchain quantum resilience by securing its entire chain history with Falcon-signed state proofs. In 2025, we took it further. The quantum-resistant transaction protecting real digital assets was executed on mainnet. And we covered that, by the way. We definitely got that out there. With Google now targeting 2029 for its own post-quantum migration, the urgency is clear. Algorand isn't waiting. We're already building for that future. Watch it. So this is over an hour, so we're not going to watch this on stream. But maybe I'll watch it later on my own and find a little section to react to or something. So a lot of people say, like, oh, okay, why not, if the first quantum-resistant transaction happened, you know, why isn't this all the time? And why isn't this just live and operating, right? Well, the reason is it makes the chain really, really slow. And that's not just for Algorand. That's any post-quantum. It just takes a lot of, you know, juice, I guess, for lack of a better, I'm not a chief scientific officer, that's for sure. But I've heard other people, when they were talking about post-quantum, I think Chris was one of them, actually. They're talking about the speed of the chain. It just slows way the heck down. So it's kind of like one of those things, you can't be the first to do it because you'll just be so much slower than everyone else. Oh my God. Okay, hold on. I'm so sorry about that. I'm so sorry about that. Very strange. We'll get back to it. William MPCD says, hi, can you comment on the qubits and their role in quantum computing? Yeah, that's way above my pay grade. But maybe Everyday Algonaut can answer, William. You seem to understand this stuff. That's beyond my understanding. I'm not even going to pretend. All right, I thought this was worth sharing. Now, Min Wei was in charge of, I believe she was in charge of Parawallet at one point. I didn't really track what she was doing, but she says, after 3.5 years, I am bidding farewell to my wonderful colleagues at Algorand Foundation. I am forever grateful to Stacey Warden for the opportunity to work alongside such a talented team. I will miss everyone. Although I'm no longer in the trenches, I'm bullish AF, you know, AF being Algorand Foundation, also, you know. There's a euphemism there. I'll just leave on the table there. I don't know if she was one of the people that was caught up in the layoffs, but I believe they announced, 25% cut to workforce, as I covered it before. So that's significant. It sounds like she's one of the people that got caught in the crossfire on that. That's too bad. I had thought about she might, and she was like involved in the podcast too for a while. She was one of the three that were usually leading it. In the beginning, when Algorand Foundation put out their podcast, it was, it was Min Wei, it was John Allen Woods, and not Mark. Who else was involved? There was three people. Well, usually Fred Astaine, I knew would come in, but I thought there was a third person, and then it was Mark when he joined. But Everyday Algonaut says qubit is just a logical unit which can perform some operation. Yeah, that was my understanding, but I didn't. Yeah, that was my understanding too of how that worked. I just didn't know how it, if or if it had anything to do with well, in quantum computing. Okay, so I was thinking quantum cryptography, but anyway, let's get to the next item. PACT Finance. 2026 has a lot coming for PACT and Algo. New website, advanced analytics, new pool types, concentrated liquidity, governance, and a comprehensive flywheel built around proof of work. That's interesting. I wonder what that means. Here's a sneak peek of the govern platform in progress. So, good, I'll say, because you know what? I have to tell you, I know I'm going to like, I know it's going to sound like I'm being kind of a jerk here, but I have to say PACT Finance is like my least favorite platform for doing things on Algorand. I just hate the way it's laid out. I hate the way it works. You know, and I found this out when I did my experiment on Compex, the XUSD pool, which was a total disaster. Well, I actually came out ahead. It turned into a disaster after I pulled out, to be fair. I actually made a little bit on it, but if I had kept it in there, it would have been toast because the XUSD coin went down to like 30% or something like that, like 30 cents or something. It's supposed to be a dollar stable coin. But every time you wanted to update, you had to like manually balance, like auto balance. How do you not have auto balance in 2026? Because it was earlier this year. How do you not have auto balance so I can have the same, you know, I can just match the amounts in the pool? You have to do it manually. That's crazy. I just don't understand it. And yeah, it's just the layout, everything about it, I hate. So I think it's great that they're going to get a new website. I hope they fix some of these issues too. I'm sure like maybe I'll get a nasty gram from the PACT people. I don't know. Someone took it over too, right? Like, wasn't it a combination of Humble and PACT and it got combined into one, something like that? I can't remember all the details. I covered it at the time. So good news. I think it's good if they're going to like redo this because they absolutely have to. Like I said, I hated the fact that I had to go create it on PACT. I also don't know why. Shouldn't the pool tokens be the same if I create it on PACT or Tinyman or whatever? I didn't understand why I had to use it on PACT to make it work, but you had to. I tried to do it the other way first and it didn't work. Speaking of updates, ParaWallet has some new fixes. The new Android ParaWallet update is here, and the update includes transaction signing screens now show balance impact, shared accounts. Why are we supposed to be shoo about that? You're actually talking about it. Bug fixes and general improvements, and now rolling out on the Play Store. Download now. So there you go. You can get yourself the new Android ParaWallet update and with some new features. You know, again, I just, okay. Mark says, interesting, I wonder, okay, so this is comes from MacMan. It says, Claude generates a post-quantum Falcon 1024 account, funds it, then makes a deposit into Mark's account. That's Mark Vandenberg, the CSMO of Algorand. I always get that S in there, because he's the chief strategy officer and chief marketing officer. Ready validator, kinda cool. So Mark says, interesting, I wonder if it can make the Ready Pool account post-quantum. Need to investigate if possible. This could be the first post-quantum staking pool in the industry. Probably we need higher minimums and lower payout frequency to make it economically viable. Like I said, it gets more expensive and slower when you go post-quantum. Let's see, that's old. I thought this was kind of interesting too, and it looks like we're getting caught up. Good. The new ARC process has been released and is live effectively from today. Learn about the new process here. This might tell us more, actually. As part of a broader restructuring with the Algorand Foundation, the ARC process will evolve to become more consistent, maintainable, and avoid proliferation of ARCs without provable adoption. That is the request for comments process. First, I want to start thanking people, blah, blah, blah. The goal of this update is not to add bureaucracy. It's to improve the quality and clarity of the ARC process, in particular, remove fragmentation across ARCs, avoid premature finalization without adoption, formalize ownership, maintenance, implementation, and expectations. This is all for all you tech people out there. The main change will be the introduction of mandatory pre-ARC discussion phase before a proposal becomes a formal ARC draft. There should be a clear discussion around the real need, the scope, possible overlap with existing ARCs, and expected value for the ecosystem. In other words, sort of a pre-evaluation process to make sure it's not a waste of everyone's time. I think that's smart. And it's good because, you know, with governance, I mean, you saw so many, like, just ridiculous stuff that people wanted. We also want to avoid finalizing ARCs too early, especially when there is no clear evidence of adoption. Going forward, greater importance will be given to demonstrated ecosystem interest, practical utility, and if needed, reference implementations actively maintained. So I think that's really smart. So you can go into more details here with Kuzma. He'll give you all the lowdown, but I thought that was the main thing, is that they're making the ARC process just a lot smoother. Might sound like they're adding bureaucracy, but I actually think this is really smart because they're making sure that, you know, they're not, the stuff that's being put forward is not wasting anyone's time. Greenblue says, do you have a tiny NFT? I missed the cutoff by like 4 tiny. I don't think I do. I don't know. I don't think I do. I probably don't. I don't have that much time. I took whatever they gave me and I staked it, and then I just take the stuff that they give me and I sell it. Everyday Algonaut says they discussed this 1 hour back on the Algo Dev Console. I don't see much change. They just want to add more discussion before ARC is in place. I think that makes sense, though. If you can like cut some stuff off the past, it's a waste of time, right? Maybe I'm wrong about that. All right, here we got Mark Vandenberg talking about how the SEC classified Algo as a digital commodity. Here's Algorand CSMO Mark Vandenberg sat down with BlockHashPod to break down what it means for clear classification to unlocking institutional participation. I will tell you, too, by the way, it is really hard to find a good crypto podcast. So many of them are just, I hear them talking about this Vanity Fair issue, and they just got right into the commentary without explaining what they were talking about. I'm like, how can you guys be this bad at podcasting? And it was a pretty big podcast, you know? That's what's so funny about it. Like, you should know better. I just don't know how some of these guys get so big without, you know, learning kind of the basics, right? Anyway, let's see what Mark has to say.
It is now clear that Algo is a digital commodity and is not a security is a big deal.
I also saw that you guys were referenced, or Algo was referenced at least, in the latest SEC CFTC guidance, which is a pretty big deal, you know, helping classify it as a commodity.
Yeah, I think it's very important for us. Being regulated that a digital commodity has a number of implications. One is there's a clarity, just the fact that it is now clear that Algo is a digital commodity and is not a security is a big deal. The clarity by itself is a big deal. The second thing that is interesting to me about this is that because we are regulated as a commodity, it means that the regulator is the CFTC and is not the SEC. And so that also has important implications because the CFTC is a more lenient regulator than the SEC is. So it's better to be regulated that way.
Okay, I totally did not know that. So that makes a lot of sense. I guess I don't know if I would have had a reason to know that. Green Blue Alga says, hoping to see the picture of Macaulay and Jaws on a motorcycle. I saw that today. So the rumor going around, I'll just address this right now. The rumor going around is that John Allen Woods might come back as CEO. Now, Stacy said she'd be stepping down this year at some point. We haven't necessarily seen this, but I've been hearing about it. And I will tell you, I have on good faith. You know, I can't tell you exactly. I'm not going to share an off-the-record conversation, but I'll say, like, let's just say I think if it were offered to John, I think he would take it. Now, he's the CEO of Nillion right now. So he's already taken a CEO role now. He's got that on his resume. You might see it. You might actually see it. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised to see John come back. I'll just say that. But yeah, let's continue with Mark Vandenberg here.
And then the third element is the institutional element, right? A lot of institutions are kind of holding back on participating in the blockchain ecosystem because of the uncertainty about regulation and how algo is being regulated. That now that is gone as well. So it opens up a significant more opportunities to bring institutions on board as well.
No, it's not gone. Now, here's the thing. Until the Clarity Act passes, you're not going to see that flood of people jumping in. It's just not going to happen. They are waiting for Clarity Act to pass because that is going to set the real tone. I think this is a big step. It's a good step. So don't get me wrong. You know, these classifications we've seen, you know, the government back off of regulation. And it's so hard because, you know, on the one hand, it's like pretty obvious that the Trump administration is engaging in a massive amount of grift with World Liberty Financial, which we I don't think I put a standalone video out yet, but we covered it on our Tuesday live stream. It's absolutely pure grift. It's like the Gilded Age is back, baby. And that's 100% true. But I think a lot of the actual moves that the SEC and the CFTC are making, that is super, super smart. So I think that one of the things I heard from the SEC chair is like, you know, the way this was regulated in the past was absolutely ridiculous and borderline predatory. Like this whole thing of, oh, we're going to not tell you what the rules are, but we're going to like send you Wells notices. And when you question, okay, well, what did we do wrong? What can we fix? And they just go, we're not going to tell you that. What are the most insane ways? I mean, that's just insane governance. So say what you want about the Trump administration, because I think obviously they're doing some crazy stuff too. But like the idea that you're just going to like do like policy by enforcement, it's ridiculous. So I don't know. It's tricky, right? Anyway, I think he's almost done.
So it's a really big deal for us. And so we're very pleased that this decision was taken and that we have clarity on this.
So I think it's funny that he used the word clarity, because actually we don't have the Clarity Act, which will truly give clarity. But I do think it was an important step. Everyday Algonaut says when SEC claimed the algo to be a security, it went down from 50 cents to 10 cents. But I don't think that institutions that sold back then will buy it now. They need to see purchasing power here. Yeah, it's not just Algorand too. It's all the cryptos. I mean, I think there's a lot waiting on the sidelines, and you're going to see the floodgates open when the Clarity Act is passed, and probably not before that. I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. Is that it? I think that might be it. Just going to make sure. Yeah, that's from the 13th. Okay. Yeah, so I mean, I think that's the bottom line is once the Clarity Act is passed, you're going to see a lot of crypto rip. I'm kind of surprised it's ripping the way it is now, but you know, Algorand should get caught up in that. Now, like I've said, Algorand is never one of the big pumpers, and it's never one of the big droppers. Typically, almost never in that top 10 for up or down. But it does sometimes. It was recently, you know, when it jumped from 8 cents to almost 12.5 in a couple of days, 3 days, something like that. That was wild. We're not seeing that now, though. So anyway, that's our Algorand segment. Thanks for tuning in for that. And hit the like button if you liked it. You know what? You could hit the unlike button, too, if you want. I don't know. Whatever. As I always say, though, you don't have to smash it. You just press it gently. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in for that. And thanks, everyone, who's already hit the like button. We appreciate that a lot. We are going to set up our Hedera segment next. Hopefully our things can stay in order here. Let's see what's going on here. We got 16 people. Cool. Glad to have everyone here today. Nice little audience on X as well, going up a little bit, but yeah, it's just a quiet day. That's fine. It can be quiet. I'm going to do a couple a couple of little news things on Hedera, and then we're gonna watch this clip from Genfinity and Ryan Solomon. Good dude, by the way, good dude. Green Blue says Algo is the only red on my watch list. Let's take a look. We'll give our friends at Vestige some love, even though I know Everyday Algonaut, not a fan of them. Oh yeah, look at on the 1 hour. I don't know, is everything else on? Not too many. Bitcoin Cash is down a little bit. Not too many are red on the 1 hour even. It's mostly green just across the board. So yeah, that's a little frustrating. I admit it. Even Hedera's up a little bit. Hedera's gonna like pass Algorand again, I bet. Crazy. All right, let's start our Hedera segment. Just give me a second here. Don't call it a ghost chain, but you might call it a ghost NFT. Hedera Project, Dead Pixels Society. What? Dead Pixels Club. I almost called it Society. Hedera Project, Dead Pixels Club, crushing it in the NFTs and just outperforming NFTs from much bigger chains. It's actually pretty wild. We're going to dive into that as we start our Hedera segment today. So buckle up because this is pretty cool. Yeah, that's right. This is from Credible Crypto. Another day of top NFT project Hedera on Hedera doing 4x. Get a 4 there. As much volume as the highest volume NFT project on Solana. That's crazy. You know how much bigger a market cap Solana has compared to Hedera? And they're just crushing them. Dead Pixels Club, once again, hit 1 million HBAR in volume today, which is about 90,000 US dollars of volume, making it the fifth highest daily volume NFT collection in the entire space, right up there with major players like Pudgy Penguins and Bored Ape Yacht Club. By the way, if you bought Bored Ape Yacht Club, you are like poor right now. Being two of the four projects in the space that did more volume than it did today. Not sure I could have ever imagined a day when an NFT project on Hedera was literally going head-to-head in activity with the top NFTs on Ethereum, but here we are. What's even wilder is that this is all happening when HBAR itself is at multi-year lows. Can't imagine what it'll be like when HBAR is making new all-time high and interest in the chain itself at levels we have never seen before. It's crazy, man. And, you know, this is 16 hours ago. We were talking about that on the 11th too. Absolutely wild. Just wild. I mean, what even explains them crushing it this much? I really want to know. I want to know. Actually, Dead Pixels Club followed me today on X, so maybe I can reach out and find out what they're doing right, because like it's just crazy that an NFT project on a coin the size of Hedera, you know, it's not down in the 20s for market cap. Solana's up there in what, 8th, 9th, something like that? That's crazy. And I want to share one more thing here that we're just going to talk about. Hedera Network tokens now on Kraken, Pack, Gib, Bonzo, Sauce, and Dovu. So we shared a lot of these before. The fact that some of these Hedera tokens, these HTSs, are getting transferred or are actually being listed on Kraken. Kraken all of a sudden is being very friendly to Hedera. And that's good. You know, we like it. So that's very awesome. And I just want to share that because now we got a video to watch. It's going to be a little bit longer. And this is from Ryan Solomon at Genfinity. We've been in contact. He's a good dude. Something like 3 years sober now. So good for him. That's awesome. He talks about that. I'm not giving away the juice. He talks about that on X quite a bit. Anyway, his post here is Hedera, backbone of the AI economy, deep diving into real case studies, verification, payments, agents, NVIDIA, Intel, Accenture, all leveraging HBAR Hedera. Let's give this a listen. I think this would be interesting.
Emergence of blockchain and artificial intelligence. I've said this before, and this is my personal view, that there's two areas for me that Hedera is very interesting for adoption. Number one is ESG and the green economy stuff. I think Hedera Guardian, I think the state of the network, I think Hedera Guardian, I think the progress made through the green economy and the sustainability. Sustainability.
All right. So the thing with this is like, I call this the boring but important play. It's really good for usage, and it gets absolutely zero people excited. Maybe like five people get excited about this. Usage is very good. You want your chain to be used, right? And I've heard people like, what was that guy? Actually, I never see him anymore. Interesting. People criticize the fact that, you know, chains talk about usage because they're like, does MasterCard talk about usage? It's like, well, MasterCard's, they probably did in the beginning. They probably cared about that a lot. Now that they're ubiquitous, MasterCard and Visa are like the two leaders. Now they probably don't talk about those numbers yet. But I think at this stage, crypto, yeah, you want usage because usage means your chain's going to exist. You're going to get fees coming in. And it's actually being used, so that's a good thing. Now, but this stuff, like, yeah, it's not going to get anybody excited. But I think he's right. Hedera and Algorand both really steered into this. So anyway, what else has he got?
The lens is impressive. I think the more interesting one for me and for probably for most people, whereas I think it's very important, obviously, from the green economy standpoint, to have a network that can adapt with all the regulations and all the mandates that are coming. But I think the AI one is super important. And I think AI is that second piece. And I think that for a number of different reasons, I think fair ordering of transactions, I think fixed fees that are kind of pegged in fiat. So like anytime that you use the network, it actually defaults back to having costs associated in dollars. So you can literally predict pricing.
That is huge, actually. That's probably one of the smartest things that Hedera did. And one of the reasons I think that's a better feature than the way Algorand has it set up, frankly. You know, it's not only more predictable for the businesses, and especially for AI, you know, if you're going to be making all these micropayments, and suddenly if the price of Algorand would go up, so would the payment price, and it'd be like crazy. Yeah, you don't want that for sure. So I think having it designated in US dollar coin makes so much in US dollars as the amount makes it so much more predictable for not only the projects and not only like the agents and doing agentic payments and the companies that will be running that or people. It does it for the chain too, because if they have so much usage, they know that's going to equal so much dollars coming in and fees to support the network. Now, here's the thing about that. You're not going to get the huge upside. You know, if Algorand goes to $100, like the fees are going to be crazy for Algorand, right? So Hedera is not going to, you know, not going to benefit from that. On the other token, they're not going to have the downside, which is what we've seen the most of right now. So I think that's a smart thing to do. As far as AI payments, Algorand, Hedera, any of the fast chains that have low fees are going to benefit a lot.
Very predictable. I think that's going to be massively important for the agentic economy the agent economy that we're heading out in towards, is the ability to have predictability of fees should be a non-issue. I mean, there's no way you can talk about scaling and streamlining payments and using artificial intelligence and agents and all that stuff if predicting fees is still a problem, right?
Nice, it's
like
right.
This totally, they go against each other. But this is really a direct case, this whole document, as Hedera for AI infrastructure. The core argument is that AI is scaling fast, but infrastructure underneath it is broken for where the market is heading. And I'll argue, you know, we talk about how early crypto and blockchain is for like payments. We haven't even scratched the surface for AI. I mean, traditional
100%.
AI used in, you know, traditional business. I think there's some other stat in here somewhere in the beginning. But yeah, okay, 78% of medium to large enterprises already use AI. Now, I don't think they go over it in here, but that's not using blockchain and AI, that's just using AI.
Yeah, that's an important distinction there. Just using AI, that's like people on LLMs and stuff. And that's not like making payments. That is its absolute infancy right now. So watch what happens in 2-3 years when people and businesses and people, like when these AI agents are more active and start having this little microeconomy. It's going to be insane. I really think so.
So I believe that as AI scales as like a global, hopefully as like a public good, but I don't know. Depends on how these zero sum game private companies run it. But as AI scales, you're going to need to have a decentralized way to verify what's happening, how AI was utilized, things like that, where all this data is being anchored to, what's going into the training models, especially with payments, you need something that can scale. But as AI moves from co-pilots to autonomous agents, some of the biggest problems become trust, verification, coordination, and obviously payment. So the paper's position is that traditional centralized systems cannot solve that at scale, and that Hedera is the trust layer meant to fill that gap. They're not just saying put AI on blockchain in this document. They're saying Hedera gives AI systems something centralized infrastructure cannot, which is immutable audit trails, cryptographic proof of what happened, when it happened, where it happened, how it happened, predictable low-cost transactions, and coordination between autonomous agents.
By the way, huge shout out, because I guarantee you this is like one boring document, and he's making it very interesting. I think he's doing a really good job of presenting this, because like a lot of times you read this kind of stuff and they're so dry and uninteresting. And he's doing a good job of bringing it to life and giving us the key facts. Big shout out to Ryan. He's a good dude.
Paper explicitly says that Hedera provides proof of computation, native tokenization, without the need for overly intensive smart contracts, even though, again, this is my personal opinion, one of the strengths of Hedera is that you have architecture that is segmented based on what you want to do, not basically telling you what you have to do. Meaning, if I'm a business and I come on and all I want to use is Hedera and for tokens or the tokens, I want to, then I can do it. Or consensus, then I can do it. Or I want to use a smart contract, I have the option to do it, but I'm not forced into doing it. Or the file service. So like, you can plug and play what you want to use on the network. But okay, predictable low-cost transactions, obviously, and coordination between autonomous agents. So proof of computation, native tokenization without the need for smart contracts, but the option exists in large-scale autonomous coordination. So they bring in a case study here, and I think that this is a lot of the slept-on stuff on Hedera. Is obviously, you guys know this, I know this, but there's tie-ins with Accenture for AI. There's tie-ins with Equity Lab, obviously, tie-ins with NVIDIA. And NVIDIA is the most, you know, the largest, most valuable company on Earth, right? So,
by the way, people in 2023 told me I was an idiot for buying NVIDIA stock. Would have been a massive L. Massive L on their part. I crushed it on NVIDIA's. I wish I had bought so much more because I could have afforded it. I took a small bet and it paid off. Should have been a like slightly bigger bet, I think. I definitely could have put more in. A friend of mine basically became a multimillionaire from NVIDIA. And he was telling me about this. He had been an Intel engineer, chip engineer, and he told me I shifted everything to NVIDIA. And this was like 2020, 2021, maybe even like further back. You know, if I bought it that time, it really would have taken off. I'd probably be retired on a beach, but I wouldn't go on a beach. I like mountain biking. I like seasons. So anyway, the fact that Hedera has ties to NVIDIA right now and all these other like Equity Lab and stuff like that, yeah, it's huge. Big deal. Very big deal. They're going to continue leading that space for a while, I think.
They go through verifiable compute with NVIDIA, with Equity Lab. They go through Accenture and Equity Lab, and all this stuff ties in together. Most people that are probably OGs on this channel remember how big Accenture is from a systems integration standpoint, from a public sector and a government standpoint as well. And they really kind of hammer down on why Hedera for AI. So Equity Labs verifiable compute is one of the practical examples here. This is built around hardware-based attestations using NVIDIA and Intel. So in simple terms, and the logos of NVIDIA and Intel are all throughout this as well. And I know that those can't be used without the proper kind of green light. So that's interesting in and of itself. We know there's been press releases that have come out on this too. But in simple terms, the hardware itself can produce cryptographic proof showing what code ran, on what data it ran on, and what output was produced. Those attestations are then anchored to Hedera in something called Hedera Consensus Service for immutable time stamping and for fair ordering. So that.
Now, what's interesting about this is Vitalik Buterin, I don't know if you guys ever read his blog. It's actually really good. I haven't read it in a while. He had a really good blog post on the synergies. And I hate using that word. It's such a like a business buzzword, right? But really makes sense in this context, the synergies between crypto and AI. And this was back probably 2-3 years ago. So I think he saw a lot of this stuff coming. I don't know why. It doesn't seem like they set up themselves. It didn't seem like Ethereum set themselves up well to work with AI, but But I think he saw that coming, and there's a lot of stuff he's talking about now. Seems to be stuff that Vitalik was talking about. Hedera seems set up really well for this. And one of the things I like, he's not mentioning this here, one of the things I like that Hedera does is when it has a use case, it basically makes a studio for it. And the studio is designed for people to come in and facilitate that use case as easy as possible. And they have like, actually, I believe two AI, different AI studios for that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think their HBAR is really set up well for this use case.
That's the actual how behind Equity Labs Verifiable Compute Trust Claim kind of works. Then you pair in Accenture, and Accenture matters because it's not just some sort of a lab demo, though interestingly enough, we connected dots on this channel independently like months ago when the Accenture stuff came out, that Equity Lab actually was in Accenture's Brussels lab like a few years ago before the actual integration and I think partnership or collaboration or whatever they're framing it as was actually came out. So there was testing done before the live integration. And sidebar, one of the big wigs at Accenture, I think the head of AI at Accenture is actually going to be at HedaraCon speaking as well. So hopefully that's a good panel. But the paper says Accenture, Equity Lab, and Hedera are building verifiable governance infrastructure for public sector and regulated AI deployments with the system running on NVIDIA DGX Cloud and using Hedera as the digital trust layer for compliance, provenance, and lifecycle records. So again, this is not just about blockchain and AI converging. I know that's the title of the paper, but this isn't just about that. It's about Hedera essentially saying that they're positioning themselves as the enterprise-grade backend for trusted AI, especially for agentic AI, regulated environments, and systems that need something like verifiable compute, which I would argue we just talked about the Global Blockchain Business Council's risk mitigation framework. How do you manage risk? Well, risk in the age of blockchain, distributed ledger, and AI as they have converged will need managed on networks that can handle the risk that have frameworks to manage it on. And this seems like almost the perfect storm to me. So you essentially have the need for verify something, you know, to be able to verify what happened, where it happened, how it happened. You need that auditability. You need machine to machine or agent to agent economic rails. And, you know, in a nutshell here, Equity, the case studies mentioned Equity Lab, NVIDIA, Intel, and Accenture are a validation layer around this entire thesis. So you can think about it in a very clean way as this. So here's a problem. AI is becoming autonomous. I mean, who said it? That AI essentially had achieved AGI or whatever. So, but anyways, AI is becoming autonomous. Current infrastructure is opaque.
I don't know. I imagine there's somebody who said that, but yeah, I don't think we've hit AGI yet. Everyday Algonaut says the synergy between AI and crypto will just come when AGI will need to have the account and no banks will open the account for it. Well, exactly. Plus, it'd be way too slow. You need stuff that's going to happen and instant. You need it instantly settled. It can't take days to settle. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. That's just not how it works. So, no, 100%. Everyday Algonaut is 100% right on that. AGI is interesting. It's kind of funny because I kind of followed artificial intelligence debates, and it was kind of funny because the debate was like, well, is AGI real and achievable or not? And then the large language models came and machine learning came, and it was kind of like not really the point, right? But it's all kind of seeming to lead to that idea that there may be AGI. And to me, more important is like, what can you do with it? You know, bottom line, I mean, it's like, I was listening to this use case, and it's something I brought up and usually in relation to crypto, right? Like, there's a difference between the hobbyist era and the, hey, this is really useful to my everyday life. And so, like, computers went through this phase, right? In the 80s, like, most people who had computers were kind of computer nerds, and then maybe, like, some businesses started having them. And it was a long time past that where computers started, like, especially when the GUI phase came around, everybody was using computers. And then suddenly, we just use these now. Like, the use case outstrips the technology. So the technology comes first, and then the use case for the everyday person. That's what really brings it into the mainstream, which is what crypto is still searching for. And a lot of times that like technology is under the hood. So we're still not in the crypto era, whether it's HBAR, Bitcoin, whatever. We're not in the era where crypto is under the hood yet. And that's where it's really going to be powerful. And that's some of the stuff he's talking about, even the ESG stuff. you know, like with, you know, carbon credits, markets and all that kind of stuff. It's really, when this stuff is the technology under the hood, so to speak, that's when it's going to matter. And that's when, that's what really adoption means when we talk about adoption.
Unverifiable, will not be able to scale for agent to agent payments. And they're saying that from the opaque and the unverifiable standpoint, Hedera can provide the trust layer. And they're proving points based on this through verifiable compute using NVIDIA and Intel hardware and anchoring attestations to Hedera. They highlighted verifiable compute throughout this entire thing. So anyways, Accenture, AI, Equity Lab, government, private sector, NVIDIA, Intel, they talk about Hedera Agent Kit and all of this. So there's a lot. You guys can probably dive way more into that as well. So it's a pretty big document. So.
Yeah, absolute. And that's a great paper that he highlighted, because I think Hedera and Algorand both are going to be huge players in the agent to agent space. But that makes a really good point for Hedera. I mean, there's just so many. I'm going to use the word synergies again. I'm sorry. So many synergies between Hedera's like capabilities and what's going to be needed for AI. So, yeah, if you're not following King Solomon, he's a great follow on X. Great follow on YouTube too. He's got a huge YouTube channel. And last year we talked about doing some stuff. He reached out to me earlier this year too, and we just never got to coordinate. But love what he's doing, and I think he's great for the HBAR system, HBAR ecosystem. And I hold on to your HBAR is all I'm going to say. You know, I'm not telling you financial advice, but I'm going to be holding on to my HBAR. I think it's going to do good things in the future. Will we see use case translate to price? It's hard to say, but I think the more it gets used, the more people will talk about it, the more excited people will get. So anyway, that's how I'm going to leave my HBAR segment. Thanks for tuning in for that. And well, thanks so much for tuning in, guys. You know, it was a nice little segment. I just wanted to get some stuff out there so we can talk about it. So we went a little bit earlier today. We started a little bit earlier today, so we're probably going to knock off a little earlier. But yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the stream. Like I said, you can always watch this on replay, or we're going to share a segment. We'll share our segments. You know what? Before we go, I just kind of want to give a quick look at how the market is doing. Bitcoin, 77.8, kind of where we left it. With Ethereum at 21.4. So yeah, pretty much right where we left it. Nothing too much different. Sometimes it changes a lot during the course of a day. Sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, thanks so much, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you next time, Tuesday at 11 Central Standard Time. I'm FrugalBC, and I will see you.